Set Free Ministry team and its international ministry partners welcomes you to another edition of The Journey. Whether working in some little jungle village in South Asia or the mean city streets in South America, the Set Free team faithfully brings the message of Jesus to those in need, building churches, training pastors, working with international leaders, and securing our religious freedoms. Set Free touches others for Jesus. Whether using old-fashioned evangelistic crusades or even the newer mediums of television and the internet, we bring the message of the kingdom of heaven to those around us. And now our hosts, Dr. Dale and Terry Climie.
The second Sunday of Easter, and it's interesting as children when we have learned the Easter story that we all know what happened on that first Resurrection Sunday morning, but what happened in the immediate following week, what happened in the weeks to come, what was God doing and how was God building the faith of His followers during that time. You know, I remember one time way back in my youth, my cousin Jackie became ill, and they took him to so many different doctors, and the doctors couldn't find out what the problem was, and they ended up taking him to one doctor at the University of Michigan Hospital Medical Center, and they found out that he had a rare form of cancer. And so he was in the hospital. This would have been back in the early 60s, late 50s and early 60s. And, you know, they did everything that they could. And you know, when you have a child that young, I think Jackie had just gotten his driver's license, if I remember correctly. So he was, you know, like 16 years old. And everybody is, they just know that they know that they know that he's going to get better. Okay, I mean, he's just too young, and he's just too good of a boy, and there's no reason for him to die. Nobody can see any good reason for him to die. And I remember his paternal grandparents would go up and visit him in the hospital, and one time they came back from Ann Arbor after visiting Jackie in the hospital, and Jackie's paternal grandmother was saying, "Oh, I took a cherry pie up to Jackie, and he ate the whole thing. And, you know, he's getting better, and his appetite is back." And all of us are saying, "Wow, you know, that would really be great, because he's been so sickly that he can hardly eat anything, can't eat anything solid." And here she takes a cherry pie up to the hospital, and he eats the whole thing. And of course, we found out shortly that it was just her best wishes. His grandmother was so hopeful that something would happen, that he would get better, that she began imagining what he was doing. We would look for just any little thing that he might do that might be some sign of improvement. Unfortunately, Jackie didn't get any better, and ultimately he passed away, and we had his funeral, and that was the first funeral that I ever participated in as a pallbearer. So Jackie was led into the cemetery by his cousins, and so I was thinking, you know, Jesus had given his disciples all of these promises, had encouraged them about what his ministry was all about, and they had all of the highest of hopes. As a matter of fact, even before his crucifixion, they were asking him, "Lord, is this the time? This is when you're going to restore the kingdom. This is when you're going to be raised up as Messiah." And everybody was kind of ignoring the message that Jesus was proclaiming about how he was going to have to be lifted up and sacrificed for the sins of the world. They chose not to accept that message, but on the other hand, they looked for any little sign of hope that this was the chance now that Jesus was going to be raised up as the King of Israel, and they, being his right-hand men, would rule with him over the nation of Israel. And then, of course, we have the Easter story where Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb early in the morning, and she doesn't see the body there. She comes back and tells the disciples, and out of all the disciples, there's only two that really have any hope, and that is Peter and John. The rest of them are just so discouraged. Oh, woman, shut up. Leave us alone. Don't you know that the Jews are after us? They're out to kill us. Just please, no more of your foolishness. But James and John had that little bit of hope. And they alone ran to the tomb. And they looked in and they saw that the tomb was empty. And they began to understand just a little bit about what Jesus had prophesied about His death and His burial and His resurrection. But it was only Mary Magdalene that stayed behind and who was the first one to be blessed with the presence of the resurrected Savior. Amen? And so I thank God for the remnant that hung in there and ultimately were blessed with the resurrection of Jesus. And so then we continue on. I have this in your bulletins, John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. We'll not get through all of it today, but in chapter 20, verses 19, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, where the disciples were in fear of the Jews, and Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." And so now the whole Resurrection Sunday had passed. It's now evening on that first Sunday, on that first day of the week. And the disciples, again, not just the 12 or in fact the 11, because by this time Judas, of course, has already committed suicide. But those that are remaining and the faithful followers, they're hiding. I mean, here's the church victorious. We were singing songs this morning about, you know, the victorious church and how the church is going to reign and all of that. And these guys were not thinking about ruling or doing anything. The only thing of their concern was, we got to stay low. We have to stay out of sight because the Jews are after us. And so they've barred the doors and they've closed all the windows. And they have felt that they're about as protected as they're going to be. They have isolated themselves from anybody and everybody. But I want you to know that even in your darkest despair, you cannot bar the door against Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. It doesn't matter how depressed you are. It doesn't matter how many of your dreams have been shattered. It doesn't matter if you have lost all hope. Jesus can still come through.
Amen.
And so it says, while they were in this place, what Jesus came and stood among them and said unto them, "Peace be with you." You know, the second thing that I want us to see this morning is that when Jesus comes into our lives, He gives us exactly what we need for the moment. Amen. He could have said at that point, "Guys, I'm going to raise you into a church victorious. You're going to walk around and do wonderful things, and the Spirit of God is going to come upon." They didn't need that. At that time, they were scared out of their skulls. And the one thing that they needed was peace. And so Jesus came along, and with all of the resources of heaven at His beck and call, what did He do? He gave them the one thing they needed, peace. Amen? How many of us need peace today?
Amen.
We were talking about Tom needing peace about the situation with their son Vincent, with Pastor Alexander and Mary needing peace. That's, you know, we're praying for healing. Well, that's for Vincent. Right now, the family needs peace. And aren't you so thankful that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace? Praise God. And then when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And so, you know, they were thinking, well, maybe this is a ghost. Now, sometimes you might have mass hysteria. Maybe something is going on here. And of course, back then they believed in ghosts and spirits and all of those things. It's interesting. I believe I could probably talk to everyone in this room and y'all could give me a story about after a loved one had passed away that you saw them or some evidence of their appearance or whatever had been there. Everyone had seen that. And sometimes psychologists would tell you, well, that's just your overwrought subconscious wanting something so bad that your subconscious makes you believe that this has happened. Amen. And so Jesus recognized that the disciples might have been wondering to themselves, is this just something that we want to see? Because we miss Jesus so much, we want Him back so much, maybe now we're just all hallucinating together that Jesus is back. But He said, look at my hands, look at my side. Guys, look, it's me, it's not an apparition, I'm not a ghost, I'm not a spirit, it's me. You can touch me. Amen? Remember earlier that day when Mary Magdalene had fallen at the feet of Jesus and had begun to worship Him. Jesus responded by saying, don't touch me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father. See, one of the things that Jesus had to do was He had to present His body as a perfect sacrifice before the Father. If you remember in the Old Testament, before a family could bring an animal sacrifice to be put to death at the altar, the priests had to inspect it to make sure that it was without blemish. And then when it passed inspection, then they would go ahead and sacrifice this animal on the altar. And now Jesus Christ has stood in for us for all of those animal sacrifices once and for all for Jesus to be sacrificed upon the altar for our sins. And so that morning He had just risen from the dead. And He was telling Mary Magdalene, I've not yet presented my body to the Father yet. Don't touch me yet. But what did He do that afternoon? What did He do that afternoon? That afternoon, that evening, He's with His disciples and He says, look it. See, it's me. It's me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone like you see that I have. It's me, guys. And so one of the things that has transpired, even though the Bible doesn't bear it out directly, is Jesus has already ascended to heaven and presented that body before the Father. And the Father says, it's good enough. It's good. This sacrifice is sufficient, not only for the sins of the world, but for the sins of the world past and the sins of the world future. Amen. And then Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And we might think of, well, it's so great on Easter we recognize and we remember the resurrection of Jesus and the fact that now our salvation is ensured through the blood of Jesus. But with the resurrection also comes responsibility. We have seen the risen Savior. We have received the benefits of the risen Savior. Our sins are forgiven. And so now God sends us. He said, Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And one of the benefits, one of the outcomes of Resurrection Sunday is that each of us now have a reason. You know, Dad earlier was saying, going on 96, that God has loaned him, or he's borrowed from God, these 26 years. You know, God does not give us the use of additional years just for us to party. Because you have to know that Dad is a party animal, right? Yeah, when he leaves here, he really knows how to throw a wing ding of a party. Now, the reason that we are saved, the reason that our sins are forgiven, is so that we can tell others. And the reason that God has given Dad these extra years is so that Dad will be part of that plan to tell others about Jesus. And we may not think of what we are doing in this place, but God has called us to be a light here. And there are people that have come to the Grand Parkway and they haven't been in a church where they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ before. And they're hearing that gospel and it's changing their lives. I think of Roy and Bonnie and Roy giving his life to God and can't wait to get baptized. So what do we do? We go down to the swimming pool and the Grand Parkway can say they have that swimming pool for whatever reason they wish, but God gave them that swimming pool so we can baptize people in it. Amen? And so that is one of the things that we did. We're born again, but with a purpose. And as long as we have that purpose, as long as we have that mission, then God is never going to give up on us. And we are, as I've said so many times before, we are immortal until our task on earth is finished. Amen? Praise God. And so he says, you go ahead. As God has sent me, I'm sending you. And you might say, well, Pastor, here I am. I don't get around very well. But he gives his people a smile at as we walk up and down the hallways. He gives us something to somebody to share a smile with, to share a God bless you with. As Joy mentioned earlier, if you go to her house, whether it's to put in cable TV or to check out the electrical or whatever it is, when you leave, you're going to get a little gospel tract. She's going to hand that out. Why? Because she believes that people that are brought into her house are not brought in by accident, but they are brought in by divine appointment. And she's going to take every opportunity to make sure that when they leave, they have something that's going to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. And in this church together, we've been so involved in what's going on in churches all around the world. As I was talking with Pastor Alexander this past week, we were celebrating, you remember I told you about our first church that we opened up in Bihar, India, an area of the world where they actively hunt down and put Christians to death simply because they're Christians. And Pastor Johnson has opened up a second church in Bihar. Amen? And so, you know, there's somebody again. Here's somebody that has simply come to me and said, Pastor, I will go wherever God tells me to go. I will do whatever He tells me to do. The only thing I want you to do is promise me that my wife and my children will be looked after if and when I have to give my life for Jesus. Amen? There's somebody who has made a commitment to build the kingdom of heaven. Well, God is not asking anybody here to endanger your life, but we have all together, all of us together, are now part of that second church in Bihar. So that is something that we have done. It's just not us up here in these walls, but the effects and the outreach of this church extends to the darkest jungles of India and Asia. Amen? Jesus said, as God has sent me, so send I you. And that's what He is doing. When He had said this, verse 22, He breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to leave off on today. Jesus gave His followers the Holy Spirit, because up until that point, the only people that received the Holy Spirit were prophets on a temporary basis. Jesus received the Holy Spirit at His baptism. But, you know, up until this point, the baptism of the Holy Spirit would come and go. But at this point, Jesus then gives to His followers the Holy Spirit. Amen? That is something that God has given us. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the Paraclete, which is a Greek word that means a comforter, one who walks alongside of us. You are never, ever alone. Just as Jesus has breathed on His disciples and gave them the Holy Spirit, when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, He gave us His Holy Spirit. And when we walk through the darkest of times, when we are informed of the death of someone that's so precious to us, when we receive news that would crush anyone else, who do we have but that Holy Spirit walking right there with us? You know, Terry has a little bit of a weakness in her legs, and every once in a while her leg will just go out and she might fall. And so I've made it my habit that whenever I open up the car door for her, I go ahead and I take her by her arm. I carry her purse for her simply because it weighs about 147 pounds and it can only damage her hips even more by carrying that thing around. So I'll carry the purse in one hand, and then I'll hold on to her on the other hand. And she'll say things like, "Oh, you don't need to do that. Oh, I've got my cane. I'm all right. You don't need..." But you see, I'm there. That's what God has called me to do, to walk next to my bride. And should she stumble, or should that knee give out, or should she trip over something, I am there to hold her up. Amen? And the same way, God has given us the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, to walk alongside of us. And when the darkness of times and events come upon our lives, we need not collapse in despair, but we know that the Holy Spirit of God is there. Amen? Amen? And so we don't pray to the Holy Spirit. Some people teach about praying to the Holy Spirit. The Bible doesn't even say that we pray to Jesus. Jesus said, "Henceforth you'll not ask anything in my name, but whatever you ask the Father in my name, that He will give you." So we pray to the Father, but we know that in the person of the Holy Spirit, the Father is there walking beside us, upholding us through all of the trials that life may have. Amen? We don't sorrow, Paul says, as other people sorrow. The effects of living in this fallen world don't affect us like it does somebody who doesn't know Jesus. Because Jesus rose from the dead, because Jesus gave us His peace, and because Jesus has given us His Holy Spirit, the things of this world need not affect us like they do others, because we have a hope that only God's beloved can have. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
Morning comes, another day. Time doesn't wait, it doesn't stay. You have a choice you must make. How will you face it all? Life just winds like a mountain road. Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Good or bad, nobody knows. Will you choose to stand or fall? Just when you choose to take it on, the waves stop and the sea goes calm. You lie down to rest your mind. Here comes the rain. Yeah, welcome to the journey.